Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shows us how to reignite our passion for God.
I don't know where you're from and I don't know what you've done. I just know that God wants to take your mess and turn it into a message. And God wants to take your trial and turn it into a testimony. And God wants to take your difficulty and make you a man of distinction. But first, you must turn to Him and you must recognize what the Word of God says. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things
life can get busy. Responsibilities, relationship pressures, and schedule challenges can all feel overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to pause, evaluate, and start again fresh. In our series, Reignite, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants to transform through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you have ever felt stuck or powerless to change your environment, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reignite Your Life.
We don't pray here to statues or to priests. I don't ask people to confess their sin to me. I'm here today not to point you to me or this church. I'm here today to point you to Jesus Christ. He is the right person to turn to when you need a restart in your life. And so Jesus is right because Jesus is eternal God. Notice, secondly, Jesus is the right person to turn to because Jesus Christ created you. He created you. He knows you. He understands you. Now look at a wonderful verse in your notes there, Jeremiah 1:5. Think of these words. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now we know oftentimes in this world that a little child in the mother's womb is just viewed as fetal tissue. But God says, no, when you were there, I knew you. I had a plan for you. I loved you. I knew you before you were ever born. I have known you through the process of your life. God, your creator, knows you and he understands you and he can help you. John 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him and without him was not anything made that was made. Psalm 138, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Now, I don't know you intimately, and you don't know me necessarily intimately, but there is a God in heaven that knows you, and he understands you. And the right person to turn to today is the Lord Jesus, because he is eternal God, and because he is creator God. And thirdly, the right person to turn to today is Jesus Christ, because he is completely perfect. He is completely perfect. Now, let me tell you something. When you go to get counsel from just about anybody, they're going to have an angle on the counsel. They have a paradigm. They have an opinion. They have an angle in the situation. But I want you to know that with the Lord, the only thing that really matters to him is that you are his child and that he cares for you. And I want you to understand that he has no angle. He has no sin in him. The Bible says in 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So Jesus Christ is the only perfect one to turn to when we need a fresh start. In fact, Hebrews says he was tempted in all points like we are, but he never sinned. He was without sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. Now, you can't say that about me, and I can't say that about you, but Jesus Christ is the one who is perfect in all points, and we can trust him. And then fourthly, Jesus is the right person to turn to because he loves you. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We had the opportunity to just be reminded firsthand as we visited Bethlehem where Jesus was born and saw that he came to such a lowly place. And then we went up to the steps that would lead up into Jerusalem, to the old city, up into the place where Jesus would have been dedicated. They would have walked, Mary and Joseph, about 4 miles away from Bethlehem, up into these steps and up into the city, and Jesus was dedicated as a little child. And we know the story. He went from Nazareth to Capernaum. He began his ministry. He lived this perfectly sinless life. But then in the last days of his life, he comes back to Jerusalem. And it's there that he went to the Bible. The Bible describes as the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that in that garden, that Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, because he was beginning to feel the agony of your sin and mine coming upon him. And as he prayed that prayer, the capillaries began to burst in his forehead and blood began to flow down, recognizing not merely the pain of crucifixion, but the sin of the world coming upon him. It was from that garden that he would have looked up to that eastern gate, and he would have been mindful that now it was just a few days and he would be going up and in past the gate and over to Golgotha, where he would die for our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ went from this place to the hill of the skull, where on this place called Golgotha, the Lord Jesus gave his life. And there the Roman soldiers drove the nails through his hands and through his feet. And there the crown of thorns was placed upon his head, and Jesus Christ suffered and died. The blood came flowing down, because without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission for sin. And I'm telling you, Jesus did that for you personally. He had you on his mind when he was on that cross. Hey, the good news is that on the third day, the Bible tells us, up from the grave he arose. And as we visited the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and we looked inside, I got to tell you, 2,000 years later, there are still no bones. There's no body there. He is not there. He is risen, as he said. Jesus did all of that for you and for me. I want you to understand, he loves you this morning. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And God doesn't love in a way like we might love. He doesn't love some people or some colors of people or some nationalities of people. The Bible simply says, for God so loved the all people. I heard about a stewardess that was getting her folks ready for the flight, and she said, now in case of the loss of cabin pressure, we want to remind you to look up. You're going to see the oxygen mask. They're going to drop. And she says, stop screaming if that happens. Grab the mask, pull it over your face. She said, if you have a little one with you, take the mask, put it over the little one's face. She said, if you're traveling with more than one child, pick your favorite. How many of you are glad God has no favorites? He loves you this morning. Look, if you're going to get a restart, it might be time to stop trying this psychoanalysis and this psychologist and this drug and that alcohol and this old gang and this old friend. It might be time for you to turn to Jesus Christ himself. He's the right one to turn to. You see, you got to go to the right person. If you're going to get a restart, you got to go to the right person. And secondly, you've got to ask the right question. You've got to know what you're needing, and you've got to ask the right question. And Jesus goes right to the issue in verse number 3. I want you to see, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how is a man born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Now, don't be too hard on Nicodemus for not totally understanding the term born again. There's a lot of people who say they're born again, and they don't know what it means. They use it in a colloquial manner. When Jesus spoke about being born again, he spoke about that wonderful miracle that takes place when the Word of God is given and the Spirit of God moves and someone is changed miraculously from the inside out. And the right question to answer is, have you been born again the Bible way? It's not, have you taken the sacraments? Have you joined the church? Have you been baptized? Are you trying hard to be a good person? All of that has its place. But let me tell you, what matters this morning is, do you know him intimately? Has his Spirit come to dwell in you? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now you say, well, why is that such an important question? Well, let me tell you two things about the new birth this morning. First, the new birth is miraculous. It is miraculous. And what I mean by this is it's not something you can do for yourself. It's not something the church can give you. I can't say a prayer over you and give you entrance into heaven. I can't say a prayer over you and give you entrance into the family of God. And it's not something that you can earn. A lot of people say, well, when I get up to heaven, I'm going to stand before St. Peter. I don't know where that came from, but that's what we often hear. And then there's going to be like a scales. And if my good outweighs the bad, then I'm going to get in. And I'm going to tell you, that's good human logic, but it's not sound doctrine. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. And it's not of yourselves, and it's not of your works. It's not what you do that counts. It's what Jesus did that counts. Hey, let's just be honest. If we had to get to heaven just on our own merit, we're in a bad situation here. But the miracle of the new birth is that Jesus Christ has forgiven us by his grace. And to be born again means to be born from above. To be born from above. It's the Holy Spirit coming and doing the work within us. Now, it's not to be born from beneath. It's not us pulling up our boots spiritually and going forward on our own merit. It's to be born of God. And this is the miracle of the spiritual birth. You see, John 1:13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look it. You can't think yourself into heaven. You can't work yourself into heaven. You can't push your way into heaven. But Jesus Christ will lead you in all the way. You see, it's not by works, Titus says, but it's by his mercy that he saved us. So the new birth is miraculous. And the other thing you need to know about it, the new birth is eternal. This is an everlasting covenant between you and God. In John 3:5, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The water speaks of the physical birth, and the Spirit speaks of the spiritual birth. And Jesus said, you've had the physical birth, you're here. But you must have the spiritual birth from above in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is forever and ever. How many have ever heard the hallelujah chorus? And he shall reign for how long? Forever and ever, right? The kingdom of God is forever. And Jesus said, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. Now, please understand something. All of us are living souls. All of us are eternal beings. Genesis 2:7, God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. Now, to be sure, our bodies are showing signs of age, and to be sure, there's not going to be an eternality of this body. There'll be a new body. But we are living eternal souls. And we must understand that when Jesus talks about the new birth, he's talking about the entry point to eternal life. And sometimes we struggle to comprehend that. I mean, 10 years seems like an eternity, and 70 years seems like an eternity. I heard about a man that was trying to understand the nature of God, and one day he cried out and he said, God, how long is a million years to you? And God said, it's like a minute. And he said, God, how much is $1 million to you? And God said, it's like a penny. And the man said, God, could I have a penny? And God said, just a minute. Sometimes we try to get our arms and our mind around time and eternity, but I want you to understand there is an eternity. In fact, in the Bible, both heaven and hell are spoken of in the sense of eternality. In fact, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, the Bible says that the fire of hell will never be quenched. That's a tragic thought. It's not something that's just for a little while. And the Bible says in Revelation 22 and 5 that the kingdom of the Lord is forever and ever, as I mentioned a moment ago. So the importance of the new birth is found in the fact that this is the entry point for eternal life with Jesus Christ forever and ever. So if you want to get the right restart, you've got to go to the right person. And the right person is the Creator God, Jesus, who knows you and who loves you. And you've got to ask the right question. And the right question isn't, hey, who do you know? Where do you work? How much money do you have? What have you done for me lately? The right question is, have you been born again the Bible way? And then I want you to see, thirdly, for those of you looking for a restart today, you've got to make the right decision. You've got to make the right decision. How many of you have made a really dumb decision or two in your life? Raise your hand right now, right? And don't say the guy I married or something like that. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, right? How many of you made a dumb one last week? Anybody? All right, good. All right. Not good, but good that you're being honest. Okay, good. We all make some bad mistakes and we make dumb decisions. But God, I believe, has you here this morning so that the scripture can guide you into making the very best decision you've ever made in your entire life. And in these final 5 minutes, I want to tell you about the very best decision I've ever made in my entire life. And I've made some pretty good ones. I've made some pretty dumb ones, but listen, I married my wife, Terry, 35 years ago. Awesome. What a great decision. The second best decision I ever made in my life. But I'm going to tell you right now about the first and most important decision I've ever made in my life. And I want you to see it in verse 16 as we close this morning. Look there at verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," what's that next word say? "Believeth in him, should not perish." In other words, this person that puts their faith in Christ does not perish, but they have everlasting life. The right decision is first a decision to turn to Jesus Christ. It is a decision, and this matter of believing on the Lord is a matter of turning to him. Sometimes we refer to it as confession or repentance, but we are turning to him completely. We're turning away from whatever else we would trust in, including ourselves and our common sense, and we're turning to him, and this is important. It's important that we turn to him alone because he is the sinless one. We are the sinful ones. You say, well, that's kind of negative. Well, it's Bible, and if you just be honest, it's the truth. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Listen, there's not one person in this city that is completely morally righteous. There's not one person in this world that is completely morally righteous. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, there's a lot of good people, a lot of nice people, but none of us are perfect. That's why we all need the forgiveness, the redemption of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're still sitting here going, well, you know, I don't know, I think there's some pretty good people, maybe close to perfect, I would invite you to visit the nursery right at the end of the service today. You're going to find some of those kids, I'm telling you, they learn at an early age how to argue, how to fight, how to bite. They're very learned and quick learning sinners over there. I'm just telling you right now. One time I was walking by the nurseries when we used to have these rocking horses, and there's a little boy and girl on the rocking horse, and the little girl said, "If one of us would get off this horse, there'd be a lot more room for me." So she was already figuring out, you know, how to have that thing for herself. You know, honestly, we learn at a very early age how to put self first. And that's why we turn to Jesus, because what we're saying is, "Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I'm not the perfect one. You are the perfect one. And I'm turning to you to forgive me. You shed your blood as the payment for my sin." So it is a decision to turn. And secondly, it's a decision to believe. To believe. Now it says, "Whosoever believeth on him." And I want to speak about this for a moment because we must, first of all, believe comprehensively. That is to say, we must make a conscious decision. It must be a willful decision. We must know who we are, that we are sinners. We must know who Jesus is, that he's the perfect Son of God. We must know that only his blood can take away our sin. And I just want you to understand, no one is a Christian because their parents said that they are Christians or because you got baptized when you were 6 days old. This is becoming born again, knowing Jesus personally lives within you. This is something that you comprehensively decide on your own. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not born again because you are forced to make the decision. I have a comic in my office, a Charlie Brown comic, and it's kind of funny to me because Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I would make a great evangelist." Charlie Brown says, "Really? Why?" Says, "Well, just today I convinced a boy in front of me at lunchtime that he should be in my religion." And Charlie Brown said, "How did you do that?" She said, "I hit him over the head with my lunch pail." Now, we didn't invite you here today to hit you over the head with our spiritual lunch pail. We're simply preaching Christ and praying that you yourself will be drawn by God's Spirit to know the importance of receiving him as Savior. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, all of us in the human race have a death sentence spiritually. We're separated from God. But God sent His Son to reach out to us and to call us unto Himself so that we might be reconciled. And the wonderful truth is today that anyone who will believe on Christ, and the word believe means to place your complete trust in Him. This is not a matter of adding Jesus to your God shelf. This is not a matter of getting religion. This is a matter of saying, Jesus, I turn completely to You. I trust only in You to forgive me of my sin, to be my Savior. And it's because of You that I'm born into the kingdom of God. Now, false religion doesn't always teach it this way. False religion has this idea that you somehow have to earn your way to God. Everybody with me this morning? We're almost done. False religion sort of approaches God on the ladder method, if you will. And what they say is you got to kind of climb up there to God. And if you keep working at it, you can someday get to God. And so sometimes they say, hey, you got to get baptized in our church. And if you get baptized, that's one step. And by the way, I'm a Baptist. I believe in baptism. I've probably baptized more than 10,000 people. But water will not wash away your sin. Only Jesus can wash away your sin. But there are those that would say, you got to get baptized, that's the key. And then some say, hey, if you'll give money, if you'll just give some more money, then that'll take care of a lot, that'll cover a lot. And so be sure to do that, because you got to do these things to get up into heaven. And some people say, look, you got to join this church, but you got to make sure you're a member here, and you do that, and that'll get you to heaven. And others say, besides that, you've got to do these other good deeds and just keep working at it, keep working at it. You got to get married here, you got to get buried here. And by the way, if you don't do enough good deeds, then after you're dead, we're going to have your loved ones light candles and pay money and say prayers so that you can get your soul up there somehow. And that's not a joke. That's literally taught some places. And it's all the ladder method. It's like, if you keep doing enough, then finally you might be able to make it to heaven. And the fact of the matter is today that that's not at all what John 3:16 says. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. You see, it's not about what you do or what I do. It's about what Jesus did. And the way to God is not through your ladder climbing technique. The way to God is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come by way of the cross, and you put your total faith in Christ, now you have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God knew that not everybody could climb a ladder, but everybody can bow. Everybody can believe in their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. So today is not a ladder climbing contest. Today is a moment to say, what's in your heart? Do you know Christ as Savior? Have you been born again by believing completely, totally, comprehensively in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because my friend, I don't know where you're from and I don't know what you've done. I just know that God wants to take your mess and turn it into a message. And God wants to take your trial and turn it into a testimony. And God wants to take your difficulty and make you a man of distinction. But first, you must turn to Him and you must recognize what the Word of God says. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where does that begin? With Jesus. So you got to come to the right person. You got to ask the right question. And then you've got to make the right decision. I'm so glad that on April the 5th, 1972, I was born again. Not because I deserved it, but because God loved me. And when I called out to Him as just a young boy, He heard me, and He received me into His kingdom. And I haven't been perfect since then, but by His grace, I have been saved. And that's the best decision that we can ever make.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church. You can find out more about our times and locations when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.